Welcome everyone to VR Jungle Havoc podcast. This is your host, Geralt Z on the screen right now, which eventually I'm going to have a floating face so you guys just think that I'm actually live. But you see our affiliate section and all the links that you need for them are in the video's description. We have Dubby, our go-to energy. We have Ruck Up for, as the Canadians say it, decals, but we call them decals. Awesome decals for any of your headsets. He just started making ones for the Quest Pro, so go check those out. And then also I get my Pro Strap headset from him as well. And then ProTube VR, which is a new one. I actually got to test out their starter kit, which is probably the best. And I can't even say this just because we are using them as affiliates, but it definitely changed my game. I'm really loving that stock for sure. And then VR Cover. Most headsets come with foam inserts, and they're really disgusting and not really good for your hygiene. And they have really good hygiene foam pads, or sometimes even leather. And you keep on saying the name. When we get back in here, you have to tell me what it's called. But it's like hypo something. PU leather. Gosh dang it. Thank you, Cuss. You can't hear Cuss, but he's over there screaming PU leather at me. And now we move over to the main screen, and with us today, of course, we have my lovely co-host, Cuss, and then we are talking about Golf Plus. You see my shirt, I'm very excited. We talked about them last podcast, and Cuss is like, hey, this is not the time to talk about Golf Plus, and so I want to talk about it so bad that I brought on the community manager, Shaq Central, and we're going to call him Shaq, so most people call him Shaq, but as people know him in Discord, is Shaq Central. So how are you doing today, Shaq?
Hey, I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me out. It's exciting to be here out in the jungle. It's a little humid, but it's good to be here.
A little humid? Oh, I haven't heard that joke.
We're quite hot, we know. Yeah. You know, we're quite hot.
Yeah, day before Valentine's Day.
Day before Valentine's Day. The love is in the air. We should have got like fun statistics on how many babies happen in the next 9 months.
No, we shouldn't. No. Too many.
No, too many.
I think I'm on like the flip side of that. I was supposed to be born right about this week, and I ended up being like a week late. So I must have been about 3 months from now.
September,
whatever
babies,
holiday that is. Yeah.
I mean, you know, December.
I'm a December baby.
Yeah.
So, Cuz, how you doing as well? You doing well over there?
Doing well. I should be getting my new PC again for the fourth or fifth time.
Yeah.
No more explosions.
Get a new PC so then you can take over all the graphic care of VR Jungle, and then I can just sit here looking pretty and being the host.
Upgraded to a 3090 with 64 RAM. It's going to be hot.
Oh, you know, nice. 3090, you could have just got a PSVR 2, but, you know, that's for a later
I didn't
talk.
Spend any money for it. I spent no money for it. It was free for me.
Okay. Well, free. Hey, I'll take free any day. So the main topic I want to talk about is obviously Golf Plus. And when you said, what do you want to talk about? I'm saying we're going to kind of just jive with it. And the biggest thing I wanted to talk about with Golf Plus, because I play it all the time. I try and play it every Wednesday. You all have an event going on right now with the people's, is it called the people's Cup or
it's like the nickname, yeah, the People's Open, yeah, the People's just Open, the Phoenix yeah. Open, yeah.
Which is called the Phoenix Open. I don't know if a lot of people have been seeing the hilarious videos of the guy streaking. That was pretty funny. If you have not seen it, please go watch the 19th hole guy.
That was wild.
I'm not going to get too graphic into details, but yeah, there was a 19th hole. Cuss, go watch it if you haven't. But, so, how long has Golf Plus been around?
So it in different iterations for a couple years now. But I believe the first course went live in like the full course, 18 hole course was right around the beginning of last year, beginning of 2022. So heading into pretty much like year two now of full course content.
Full course content. Mm-hmm. And then when they first came out, they were sitting at three, right?
Cliffs was the initial, if I'm remembering the timeline right, I'm actually one of the, like, in terms of people coming in, I was fairly late on the team. I believe it was Cliffs and then Alpine first, but I could be wrong. And then I think Valhalla was the, like, the first real life course.
Yeah. And Valhalla is, a very not a nice one. And it opens up with a freaking, like, I have a natural stupid slice in real life. And you guys open up hole one with a freaking, I have to have some draw or just play it safe and hit it straight. Or be a crazy man and just hit right over the trees with all the power I
got. Or just, you know, just do what I do and just be a lefty. It works great. You can have all the slice you want.
Yeah. Natural lefty slice. Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, exactly, Cuss. And, well, Cuss, do you know anything about golf? Do you play golf, Cuss?
I know about golf. Yes, I have. I've watched tournaments of real life golf, like one or two, but nothing, you know, too super serious, you know. So I knew some of the rules, regulations, all the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff. Besides actually playing. He's in the rule book.
Anybody who broke a rule there, I learned what the rules were.
Fair enough.
That's hilarious. So what even got people, like, was it always an idea like, okay, VR is great. We have all these shooting games, which there's a lot of first-person shooters out there. And then you have, you know, it started with Pro Putt is originally how the game started. And then they got a deal with, what's the one with the
Top Golf?
Top Golf. They had a deal with Top Golf. And it seems like now they just got a big deal with PGA Tour.
Yeah. Actually, before... It's kind of funny, before Pro Putt was even a thing, it originally started as like when we say our mission is to get people into real life golf. Uh-huh. I mean, we didn't even start as like a VR golf specific thing. Ryan Engel, our founder, was actually working on an app to read the green in real life.
Yes, I've seen this.
So yeah, and from there it was built out to a Simply Putting app, which was another kind of like a putting training app, more training focused, and then. You know, obviously the potential was there, and they built out some insanely cool stuff in Pro. I don't know how much if you've played Pro Putt at all.
Yeah, that's why I originally got the game. Yeah. Is because I wanted to do some putting because I was looking for a VR game. Because
he's too bad at real life golf.
Well, this is the funny thing about this is that putting, if you ever play golf, putting is probably, you can literally be on the green in regulations, and with regulation means that you're putting for birdie. Below, it's like par or below, right? Is that regulation? Is it par?
Yeah, green and regulation leaves you two shots to make par. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. And so you could literally end up with a freaking bogey, the double bogey, if you suck at putting. So putting is like very crucial to the game of golf. And I kid you not, I got Pro Putt because it was the only thing realist to real golf. And then, you know, you have like putt-putt games in VR, but those aren't realistic. And I kid you not, I don't know how many times I'm going to say that because I keep on telling myself why I keep saying that word, is that my putting game actually improved from playing Pro Putt. And just from visually, because you do the pro greens, if you do the pro greens and stuff like that, it teaches you about touch and it teaches you about how to read things. And I went there and I think the first time after VR golf, my buddies make fun of me all the time. They're just like, oh yeah, he's a VR golfer. But I think the first time after playing Pro Putt, I went and made like my first 25, 30 foot putt. Just sank it. I'm just like, I've never done that in my life before.
Yeah. I feel like there's always this kind of ongoing, like people asking questions and people giving different answers on, you know, how Golf Plus relates to your real life game. And for me, I mean, it was a noticeable change just in the terms of the feel and the consistency and really the confidence I would get in particular through putting in my short game, like both in Golf Plus and in real life, my putting and short game have improved dramatically. And obviously there's an element of that to like, you have to do both. That's the thing we always come back to is we're trying to get people to play our game, obviously, but also real life golf. And so, you know, there's a fair amount of people that kind of have that, that idea that like, if you start to play Golf Plus, your real life game is going to suffer. Kind of like that age old, like, should you play softball if you're a baseball player? Like, but as long as you're playing both, I really feel like it's genuinely led to a serious improvement in my short game and putting for sure.
That's cool.
Shit. Yeah. And I definitely agree with what you mean where, you know, you can't do one of too much because what I've noticed, though, with playing Golf Plus, and it has also had me also switch up my stance and the driver, is that I would play Golf Plus and I would still have my natural slice, but I've been fixing my like slice in the game and like how to hit my club properly and stuff like that in my stance. And I need to stop saying, I kid you not, that's bugging the crap out of me, but I'm catching myself saying that. I've never said that in my life. And now it's funny. But when I went and played the other day, we played in like, if it's like 50 in Illinois, 40 to 50 degrees out, we're out golfing. And we were there hole one, and I could not hit the golf ball to save my life. And I don't know what it was. I was just sitting there, just like, practice swing, guys. Don't worry. Practice swing. Practice swing.
Mulligans. Yeah. Tons of mulligans. There,
like, I'm ready to freaking go home because it's off-season prices. It's $27. I can eat $27 and just go home and play some VR golf and actually crush a golf ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or buy a new map and try a new map, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have all the maps. I have them all.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, the maps are pretty well reasonably priced. So, I mean.
So, with you said Ryan, and he has a Twitter, right? Ryan, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he have anything to do in actual golf in his career that you know of that made him really want to do a golf game or even start his, you know, his entrepreneurship of making this green putting app that I have seen? It's a nice app.
Yeah, yeah. You should. so, I would say we. In our company, I think Ryan might be the second or third best handicap in our company. I mean, he's been playing golf his whole life. Yeah. He's like low single digit. He's incredibly good. So yeah, he's been playing golf his whole life. And when he originally met Rob, our other co-founder, they met on the golf course while he was testing out his app. So they're both very solid golfers. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, the whole tale that I've always wanted to know, have you actually had like Bryce DeChambeau, you know, have you had any of them actually play a full course of like Pebble Beach that you have out? Because obviously the newest one you guys have for Scottsdale just came out obviously, but you have Pebble Beach out there. Have you had someone from their real life scores at playing Pebble actually be a pro and play VR and compare their actual scores?
Yeah, I mean, I know that we have. I can't say more than that, like name, like specific names.
Oh,
I know that
they
I've seen
in VR, don't they?
No, I mean, I've literally seen pictures of like people with like a Oculus headset in their lockers at a couple of the tournaments, like next to their actual real life bags. So
that's cool.
We have quite a few people on board. It's been cool to see.
Do you happen to know your concurrent player count? Like, I'm curious how many people.
We do. That's like one of the, like, we don't, I know we have.
Don't publicize?
Yeah. Like the specific numbers, I think that's kind of just a general industry thing, but I know, I think the article that came out around the Pebble time mentioned above 700,000 players. So
holy
yeah, dude,
no kidding, dude,
their community is great. Like I came in there, and the thing that I love about your golf community is that sometimes when I show up saying I want to make content, people go tell me the F off real quickly. Or they say, you know, this isn't your place to go. We already have the people here doing all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned my esports team and how I wanted to start getting people, the esports term, involved into the Golf Plus community, what it seemed like you all were okay with open hands. And there's been multiple games I've came in and had that same question, and people would be like, you're a joke. What's esports? And I'm just like,
we have the opposite. We had players DMing me when this past weekend, right before the tournament started in Phoenix, the Golf Channel ran a little like 3-4 minute like kind of feature on us, and we had some of our tournament players were DMing me being like, I should be the one showing that off. I won all the tournaments here. Like, we have people that very seriously want to make this a competitive tournament scene.
Yeah, and that's why I'm trying to come in here, and I try and get people, and I say esports and stuff like that. And when I first started, there's a lot of games that were trying to get away in VR, the esports naming, for a long time, and I can't really disclose who I got the terminology from, but they wanted to go in VR. They wanted to just call it VR sports, and get rid of the E and just call it VR sports. And I think, and even if you would have seen some of our old handles, we were called VR Sports Havoc instead of VR Esports Havoc, and no one really wanted to go and get rid of the E out of the esports. I mean, I get it. We're still a game. They're still like, obviously, I know a lot of people in Golf Plus that I played with that like Seabiscuit, for instance. That's people that obviously Cuss wouldn't know, but it's a well-known name in the community. He's a hell of a golfer, and I think that he was one of the people that told me he's never golfed ever in his life. Like.
Yeah, it's been kind of amazing. If you really go see them, I'm planning to do like kind of an interview series soon with some of the top players, so you can kind of get more of a sense of like both their golf games in game and in real life. And it's really amazing to see, like, we've had times where legitimately our top like 4 or 5 players will have two players who are like single digit handicaps in real life, someone who barely plays in real life, two people who have never played, will have like two of the top five in a tournament who like use a controller attachment, three of them use just the regular controller. Like, there's no one way to play that like dominates our competitive scene at all. It's literally just a full mix. Like, our two best players of all time, like in terms of tournaments won, our two top players ever are literally the opposite of each other. One plays with an attachment, one plays with a controller. One uses the power meter on every shot. The other one always plays at 100%. Yep. The two of them, like, one golfs in real life, one doesn't. It's incredible.
Is that the game that I commentated on? Those two?
I don't think so.
Because I commentated with Seabiscuit, and then why can't I remember? It was another fella, and it was a really good match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you remember the name? I can't remember.
I mean, I don't know if it was Paper Shaper. Paper Shaper's absurdly good. He's our goat. I think that's his literal emoji in the Discord.
Seabiscuit versus Shriker.
Oh, they are incredible. They are.
That's the game that I commentated, and I wish more people would get a hold of me to commentate these, because I had a blast. I will commentate all the time just to get an esports type of scene out of this game.
I'd be that little kid that you drag along and then passed out in the back of.
I was so sad. I missed out on that Ryder Cup event that I think you were commentating. It was like the Ryder Cup that they've been putting together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I missed out on the qualifier for that by I think two strokes. I was so sad.
So close,
dude. And they're so good. And it was such a comeback of a match that I watched between those two, and it was Seabiscuit that was like, he was about 80 to 100 yards out, and he was behind by like two or three holes on the best ball, and freaking drains it. And you could tell that the mood swing just changed on how he started playing, and then he caught up, and then I was just like, this is a phenomenal match to be. I thought he was gonna run away with it, and that's the cool thing about golf is that, man, you can have your good holes, but if you suck, it can hurt you so bad.
Yeah. Oh, and it falls apart. It falls apart bad. I played in real life this weekend, and I was feeling pretty good heading into the back nine. The front nine on the course that I play at over the winter is easier or is harder. So heading into the back nine, I had a decent score going. It's like maybe this could be, you know, close to one of my better rounds in the last year. And on the easier back nine, I went like bogey, bogey, and it just fell apart like immediately. It's just crazy how fast it can swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you get in your head and you start thinking about your swings.
Yep.
And you'll make dumb decisions. Yeah, I definitely know that feeling. The good thing is usually I'll start out bad, and then by like hole 18, I'm warmed up.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what I'm doing.
Just in time for that's the best part of Golf Plus is like in real life, typically by the time you start to feel really like warm and ready to go, you're you're at the end of your round, and in Golf Plus, you're like, it's only been 30 minutes or so. You just fire up another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because I think when I do my Wednesday streams, as long as I'm not busy, because I try and designate golf on Wednesday, I'll get about 3 to 4 18s in.
Mm-hmm.
In about, because usually I'll stream close to 3 hours when I stream. Yeah. 3 to 4 hours when I stream on weekdays, because I gotta wake up early.
I found the stats. You guys ready for this? So your closest competitor for VR is Walkabout Mini Golf, right? And they're on both platforms. Their units sold is in 61,000. You guys, I don't know the number. You have sold more than 700,000. Holy cow, dude. That is such a lot. Like, it's from Steam numbers. I don't know about Oculus numbers, but Steam numbers, that is such a huge difference. Holy.
Wait, you can get the game on Steam?
No, for Walkabout Mini Golf, you claim.
Oh, okay.
Not
I was like, what number are you talking about on Steam?
I'm saying from the just the unit sold price.
Yeah.
Like, they have.
Yeah, I mean, Walkabout is incredible, to be fair.
Holy.
I mean, I know they're our Ryan and the founder of Walkabout are really close. They make an incredible game. It is so good.
I had their it's like their artist, but he's like, I guess the molder is what they say. Right. Like they molding. Give you like a blank slate, and he molds everything to look like
an asset
gorgeous.
Artist,
huh?
Asset artist.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what he called it. Yeah. It was something with. I guess you get like the grayscale of it, and then he adds the life to it. I can't really explain what it is, you know, but I had him on an earlier podcast, but yeah, like they're doing some great wonders over there as well. But you know, it's just, it's putt-putt. It's what it is. You know, it has its own life in the VR space. But yeah, I want to talk about, before we get too deep into other stuff, about using the actual controller for golf and then using some type of module for golf.
Yeah.
And I just want to put my own input on that. And I used a controller at first, and you can get away with a lot just using a controller, especially power. Like power, because you could flick your wrist and trick the game to think that your top speed is way faster top speed than what it truly is.
Of course, yeah.
And it was great, but I noticed that my real golf game, like in my head, was messing me just using a controller, because I didn't get to use, you know, this tucked grip that I wanted. Yeah. I had to do this type of grip. And so I went and purchased, it was the Deadeye, the one that you guys also promoted.
Oh, the one you shared on, what was it? Twitter? Not Twitter.
I posted it everywhere. I think it's great. But that thing right there, I don't, like, even if you have a different one, you know, I'm not saying just go for this one, because I have no affiliation with them at all. I try to, but, you know, they never mess me back. But anyways, just email me back. Just say no. Give me an email, dang it. But anyways, I don't care what you have. What I noticed is that it was truer to my actual golf game using the actual club.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And the ability that you all have, that you have selections of which one you have, is awesome. And you can change where you're putting your hand at as well, compared to where the actual controller at. That was genius. And
that
then,
is that. Yeah, that's, you know, what is it? Accessibility.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very good setting.
Yeah, and it definitely allows for so much versatility of like everything. It just, like, doesn't matter who you are, what your play style is, you find you, and then you can still compete. And that's what I really like about Golf Plus, because there's certain games that, you know, if you don't have a gun stock, so like say like the game like Onward,
right?
Gun stocks in that game are very crucial, just because you're waiting there for so long. And if your hands are up, if you don't have a gun stock, your hands, you know, you start flickering slowly, and it's just because your arm gets tired. With a stock, you know, skill issue. You know, we're not talking about skill issue here. Yes.
So for those who have never held a rifle, or were forced to hold a rifle at arm's length for 20, 30 minutes plus,
it's gonna be brutal.
The great service member special.
and then also what I noticed is that my next one, because I wanted to try out the Deadeye first, to see if I really want to spend money on it, but they have one that actually adds a weight to it as well that makes it even more real.
Yeah.
Might as well just get a golf club, cut it off at the end.
Yeah. So there are definitely people, like, one of the big advantages of having one of the attachment settings be fully custom is that, like, we have people that actually make their own fairly frequently. Like, they'll cut a golf club off
or make one
of, like, their own weight on it. So the fact that you can just set it anywhere on your controller is makes it really accessible for people that do want to make their own. But the weighted one, like, any weight that you add to it is, I always describe, I feel like our entire game is just a series of game changers, but like a weighted controller attachment is like a serious game changer for particularly people who play real life golf, because one of the issues you run into even with a controller attachment is just that weightless feeling, especially on short shots. It is so hard to trick your brain into not flicking your wrist through the shot. So like keeping your wrist straight, not breaking them. And there are so many aspects of your shot. Like the fact that you can't really truly see your feet, that type of stuff. Like you have to kind of get used to that mentally. So having a weighted controller helping you keep your hands forward on a bunker shot or like just not making it harder for you to kind of break down what would be normally like your, you know, a good shot shape.
Definitely immerses you. Also on top of that, you know.
Yeah, I'm at the point where like I started with one of the weighted ones right just before I started playing, right after I started playing maybe. One of the companies that makes an attachment had just released like their version 2, which had a weight on the end of it. And so I ordered that and I was playing with it, and then I smashed it into the ceiling and broke it in half. And so now what I do is, like, I was so used to playing weighted that I actually grabbed one of the I have a Deadeye now, and I like I literally have like nickels taped to it to add weight to it. Like I have literally like a stack of nickels taped to the bottom of it because it just gives me that weighted feeling that I need. So
man. I think it definitely would, you know, from a player who plays, you know, shooter games. I don't play golf. Yeah. But from a player who's, you know, a shooter in real life and like feeling the weight of a gun in the game for real life, dude, that'd be cool. Like I would love it.
I grew up playing basketball, like all through high school and into college, I played basketball. And so like for something like the gym class game, like if you were trying to like dribble there and you didn't have any of the haptic feedback, like when a ball bounces back up to your hand, if it didn't have any vibration, like no matter how good the mechanics would be, it would just feel like alien. And so
I can't throw the basketball in what is it? Breachers. There's the, cause Breachers has like a little basketball while you're waiting. Yeah. I can't throw it for the life of me. Cause either it's too hard or too soft. I can't get that sweet spot.
So having any sense of that feedback is so critical. So having the weighted feedback is something you can't get. You can't make like the weighted feeling of a swing, like virtually. So having the weighted attachment is just a massive, massive boost.
Yeah. So I definitely want to do the weighted one next. And man, I was gonna think of something, and then he got my mind on freaking Breachers about the freaking basketball. Basically what I was gonna say is that like they might be really good at making a game, but they should stay away from making anything basketball related. But the game that you're talking about for what is it? Not recess. Would you just say the basketball
gym class?
Yeah, it's getting a huge update as well. It's going to be a good game. Gosh, dang, what was it? I just had it in my head again about golf.
The pro scene? Was it the weightedness of the thing?
Keep going.
Your dead shot.
Dead eye. Thank you very much.
Same thing. Yeah. You make a shot with the dead eye.
I will say, like, it's wild to – last night's a good example. I try to hop in, like a couple times a day if possible, and play, like just go into like the open multiplayer lobbies and try to play games with people, because that's really where we get, like, you know, I get a lot of valuable feedback that way from people that don't know anything about, they don't even know that we have a Discord, to people that like don't know like who we don't have like a Golf Plus tag on my username or whatever, so I can go in there just as someone who is very experienced in the game and not like one of our top 10 players or so, but like as a, like someone who is scratching one of the top, I don't know, whatever, 300 or so. Like last night we had a player in there who was probably like level 8 or 9, had pretty new to the game, but played in real life. And he's playing out of the bunker, and he's like, I can see he's making contact in the bunker and then stopping. And then the ball is like dribbling out, right? He's like no follow through. Cause he's just convinced, like it's that mental block of just, you having to believe that it's going to react like it does in real life. And so I was like, hey, do you mind? I think he was on his like 10th stroke on a par 5. So I was like, if you don't mind, like just putt backwards into the bunker. I'll show you like how I set up with the bunker shot. And so I showed him, like, you know, putting it a little forward in his stance, opening his club face up and making sure that he follows through, just some of the like very basics of the bunker shot. And I was like, if you just make sure that you follow through, watch what happens. Keep your hands forward. Yeah. Don't flick your wrist. He didn't put it like super close.
For those who don't play golf, like
in the air,
is that very real life like?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like for sure. Like as an example, so like when I am like, if you're close to the green, right, and it's rolling downhill away from you, but the flag is close to you.
Yeah. Okay.
And you want, like, you need a shot that's gonna loft up in the air and then have a lot of spin, so it comes to rest. Because otherwise, you know, it'll hit the green and just roll off forever. I mean, you can affect that by putting the ball further forward in your stance so it gets higher up in the air.
Okay.
You open up your club face so it's hitting it more of a, like, up in the air, and then as long as you follow through on that shot, you get a ton more trajectory, and it's so realistic.
I
understand Newton's first law and second law. I mean, that's it. Hey, object most stays in motion. I don't know. I'm not a mortarman. I'm not angling trajectories.
Yeah.
I remember what I was gonna say now.
Mm-hmm.
Finally came back to my head about little feet. So Oculus just had a new update. I think you can find it in their testing section. I don't know if it's officially live.
Their
beta section. They are actually bringing full body to Oculus. And so with this, I don't know how much you can think of. I'm just going to say, I think
through
a great
Oculus?
Update. Oculus is doing. No. The Oculus is allowing pretty much if you want to develop the user to have full body, like optimization in VR.
Are they allowing the Vive pucks though? Like, can you generalize? You know what you
well,
use?
Well, there's a company that already has things 4 feet for Oculus that they've had for a while. I can't remember the company. They were going to give us a handful of them. I just can't remember the name, but they're. It's so basically the way that they're going to do it and the way that they talked about it in past videos is that it's going to be a guess. So it's going to know how tall you
approximately,
are. Approximately. Yeah. How you're, if you go like this and lean, you're probably lifting up your foot, you know?
So you know what you could do, right? So for the feet problem, right? So Breachers does this thing. I'm going to talk about Breachers because Breachers does a very good thing when it comes to feet. So they have indications on the ground of where your feet approximately would be. And so when you angle your body in certain ways, it keeps your feet planted, but your body still does the rotations like you would lean. So maybe, you know.
I see what you're saying.
It could lead to, you know, a better system where you could see your feet. I'm not entirely sure, like, because you could take a basic stance, you know, and have it generalized for, you know.
Yeah, because that is one thing I
maybe
do
add settings.
The feet would definitely change my golf game in Golf Plus. I think an update with feet, just make it an option to turn on or, like, do, like, a beta testing of it to see if people even want feet. Because, you know, a lot of the times when I'm playing Golf Plus, I don't know if I'm standing too far away or too close, you know. Yeah. And so I just find like a baseline.
I don't have these problems.
Hopefully the damn golf ball goes straight, you know?
Yeah, the alignment is definitely like an ongoing discussion. That's the reason that like to solve this in an easy way early, we made it so the majority of the balls that have like a straight logo, like a named logo on them, they naturally point right at the hole to try to help with that alignment issue a little bit. And it's similar, like, so there's a lot of like pass through issues to consider. There's like multiple options for this, but I mean there are ways to solve it that we're just kind of going through, like, is it enough of a problem to need like dedicated time to it? And if so, what's the solution? Because the solution may not even be
worth
it. I mean, the solution may literally just be like basically an arrow on the ground where your feet would be,
exactly.
Shows you where your line
is. Exactly.
Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a pair of feet, just something to give that indication of alignment. And if the golf ball, like the straight line pointing isn't enough, there's definitely discussion to be had for how best to show people their alignment, basically.
I think that's, you know, very good thought process when going through it. It's like, is it worth it compared to, you know, the process of what would be best for the player base?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then also the sand, like, you can get rid of sand traps out of Golf Plus. Dude, sand traps are the worst in Golf Plus.
I'm a magnet for the sand.
Dude, they absolutely
You
hate
magnet for
me.
Sand in real life, too?
No, and I don't get it. Like, that's maybe that's as good of an advertisement for an alignment issue as anything. Is like, in real life, I tend to play with more of like a almost like a field goal post idea in mind, where for me, like when I'm heading into the green, it's pretty rare for the flag to be in the center of my aiming. Like if there's a bunker on one side and no bunker on the other, a lot of times the flag will end up being like my left or right goal post where I'm just trying to stay out of it. So
yeah.
the, like, the avoidance. No and no.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Put in your head, like eventually what's going to happen. What you need to do is just get the pro headset and put it on and then have Ryan develop Golf Plus indications in there so you can just have everything like, if you hit it this hard at this angle, you're going to get there. And then when you get up the putt, the one thing that he didn't mention with Ryan's thing that he made for his golf app, you scan the green and it gives you the putting line.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, that's our novice mode. Yeah.
What? Dude, it's straight cheating.
I'm bad at the game. Okay. Like I'm not good at golf. You know. Well,
yeah. You just got to play on our novice mode.
Technically,
you get the putting line.
I can't be bad.
Yeah.
I can't be bad because I haven't played at all. So I'm the greatest at the game. That's all I could say.
So
you know.
Don't know if that works.
I do want to know though, how honestly, because. You're pro, you're like playing pro, because I only play pro because so if I ever do a tournament, I can at least suck, you know, with pro level saying I did exactly. pro, you know. You know, exactly. So I only do pro settings, and people get to watch me every Wednesday bogey golf because I freaking suck. And your guys' new Scottsdale course is goddamn impossible to play. I'm like, I can't get anything better than like a minus 10. I mean, a plus 10, sorry, minus 10. Yeah,
I was going to say, I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, no, I can't get anything greater than a plus 10. So I am not doing good on that course at all. It hates my life. But how honestly true do you think pro greens are to real life? Because those, it's like literally putting on ice sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's if anything, there are courses where there are a few courses that are played each year where the stimp rating of pro greens is like 12.5 in our game. And there are a couple of courses on the pro circuit that typically play at like a 13 to 14. Oh, so it's like they don't stop. There was a video last year that kind of went semi-viral. I can't remember what course it is, but a guy just showed on the green. He showed a surface that looked relatively flat and he just dropped the ball like that on it. And it rolled like 60 feet off the green. So
that's horrible.
It is like, it's funny because
so it can be real.
It's very realistic.
Okay.
Like to that specific stimp, obviously, like there's nothing in my area.
I live relatively close
to what used to be like, I live about an hour away from one course that used to be on the tour. But other than that, I live in an area that's, you know, it's very wooded and pretty wet. So our greens tend to play like between a medium and fast in our game, like that equivalent.
You don't live in Illinois, do you?
Get good, Geralt. He's telling you to get good, Geralt.
it's pro greens are brutal, but they're accurate.
You know, the best combination. The Corn Ferry Tour?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I live by that.
Nice.
So they have that every year, which is pretty cool. You get to see they're pretty much what the Corn Ferry Tour is the semi pros before a lot of them become pros.
Yeah, essentially like double or triple A baseball equivalent. Yeah,
yeah.
We used to have a golf course right by our base, and people who got off shift would go play the round of golf, get drunk, and then go home. It was like, nice. Now it's a failed business, unfortunately. But
do you think that they'll ever add weather?
I mean, it's an ongoing discussion. Like, it's one of those things that it's the thing that's like, it's fairly obvious to say, like, we all want that. Like, everyone from us.
But
to,
how
like,
many
the
people
would
actually golf
and
in
it's,
weather?
I do. Every, so, rain pretty much like, is great to play in.
Yeah. I mean, I have a picture I put on Twitter about a month ago of me playing in literal snow. Like, I took the little hitting mats you can buy at Dick's that have, like, one square foot of turf on them. I was so desperate to play. I went out on a day. It was entirely covered in snow. And I just set the mat down, hit it, found the ball. I played with like red and yellow, bright yellow balls.
Of course.
Went, found the ball, laid the mat down again, hit it. I made it like five holes before I was about to freeze to death.
It was. Our course was pretty much frozen this Saturday. But for some reason, I don't know if they watered the goddamn greens or what, but they were so wet that if you didn't hit your ball, like during summer, if you barely tap your ball, it's going to go somewhere. But we were pretty much hitting it as hard as possible. And it was like, you could just see the water pick, like slowing down the ball. I'm like, this is freaking
painful.
Ridiculous.
Painful. Yeah.
So as far as weather goes, like it's one of those things that's, it's like a lot of features right now where it's so amazing to partner with the PGA Tour.
Yeah,
in terms of adding things into the game that aren't PGA like courses or events or things like that, that does leave us more to consider, like more to budget our. It makes it a more serious and pressing issue to budget our time with other features. So there are like numerous things that are like kind of quality of life or just bonus things that it would be cool to add that make it pushed back. But weather is like a thing that. At the very least, having like a couple different options like weather boxes, things like that are obvious things that we all want to see in the game from us to the course designers to everybody. So,
Let me ask you the question. You guys have wind, I guess, because like you
have
to have
wind
for a golf game. Yeah, I had to expect you have to have wind to have a
like,
golf game.
Yeah, so like three variable wind settings. We have low, moderate, and fast. And what we do take into account is like I say like only three settings, but it also takes into account which course it is. So certain courses,
like Pebble
the
Beach,
the low is high, like Pebble Beach, the Castle Links, which is based on like links courses in Scotland.
Is it
their,
randomized?
Their high winds.
No, you get to pick it.
You can pick. Yeah. And I mean the wind varies like second to second. I mean, you see like a real time how like you can be playing with someone at a course
and around.
You can see the wind at like 25 miles an hour as they tee off. By the time you tee, it might be like 27 for a few seconds, kick back down. But yeah, there's a big range of wind depending on where you are.
Yeah, but when you play the pro style, you can see that. You can just see like specs, and you're just like, which way are those specs blowing?
Yeah.
Are you guys just like kind of gearing up for PC VR? Like, are you going to, you know, I'll ask the question, you know, are you upscaling for PC VR or are you keeping the same graphics for the most part?
We have mentioned like we are planning to port. I mean, the obvious answer is we're trying to port to as many systems as we can.
Of course. Yeah.
Steam is one that we've talked about. Like we're planning on porting as out to as many experiences as we can as quick as we can. That's another one that's like, as many resources as we can devote to it while doing the, you know,
do you also have like PS2 loads. VR in your sights as well? Because, you know, it's the biggest one that's, yeah, you know, in the talks at the moment. So
that's one where like, in terms of the specific supporting, I, not only can I not speak on it, it's because I don't know. Yeah, like I'm not privy to that information.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
I have no clue. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because those, the three big ones are Oculus, PC VR, and it's going to be PS2 VR. It's going to be.
Did you see the drop that everyone made videos on the day?
For what?
They literally just dropped a new headset that is like sunglasses on your head.
I just saw a post about it. Yeah. It's like this small. Like it's actually just your eyes.
You know what
like
I said? Contours to your face.
You know what I said? The ruck up. Posted about it. He goes, I don't know if this is good for VR. You know, any headset's a headset, whatever.
But is it going to be MRXR?
I basically said, it's a 10, but it has cords.
Yep. That was the first comment we had like in the office was, it's got to lose the cord.
Yeah, dude.
No. Cord is great.
Dude, so they finally said that they are releasing, even though like the biggest thing is that even though that Meta decided to do all these layoffs, they're still making the Quest 3 this year. Dude, they're not the only company that's making these layoffs. They just like to pick fun on Meta because Meta does dumb
Meta's
stuff.
Meta's Meta, man. But Meta's Meta.
The Quest 3 is going to be pretty huge, and guess what? It ain't going to have freaking cords, cuss. It's going to be a hell of a great...
It's going to be like the Quest 2. It's going to have the corded option, you know?
Yeah, okay.
It has to.
No, but the thing
otherwise, it's unusable for the most part of, you know, certain more heavy VR games.
Yeah, but even now, you don't need a cord to play PC VR games on your Quest. You just AirLink. You know, you have low latency.
I'm more of the I want to see my background. You know, I'm that kind of VR player. Like when I go into certain maps games, I want to see the level of detail on the map. I don't want, you know.
Yeah, I get it. With the PS2, PS2 graphics, a lot. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And you know, it just
adds to the experience for me. You know, that's personal. That's personal, though. You know,
sure.
I'm not gonna take away from the Quest 2 players because, you know, it's the same game for the 90% of the most part. You know, yeah, it might just be, you know, the graphics.
Ooh, I don't get to see a speck of blade of grass or the trees look all pretty.
But you know, like some games where ambiance is literally 90% of the game.
I get it.
That's very important. And so like it's just a thing for me, you know. I'm always going to be that way. Like Escape from Tarkov, going from Escape to Tarkov from Tarkov to like bare bones PUBG. PUBG's pretty bad, you know, with graphics. So I mean like it's kind of that's how it feels to me. That's
funny. I definitely know that the biggest thing, especially with all the news, is that any headset comes out, people are just like, PC's master race. It doesn't matter if you're talking about pancake console wars with PC or with VR and PC. PC always, you know, in my head, is master race because you can do so many more things with a PC than what you can with a lot of things.
I'm going to bash Oculus because I don't like Oculus company. Besides.
Well,
they make poor business practices, okay?
I don't
look.
the old Oculus was fine. You know, they should have never been bought by Meta. And then, so one question. Are you guys owned by Meta?
No.
Yeah, what is your company's affiliations? Like, I know you do the, what's the golf one? I forget. The golfing company that you work with, not owned by.
Oh, I mean, other than like the PGA Tour, that's our
PGA.
Yeah, that's our branded partner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just you guys.
Yeah. What was? Do you guys have a studio, or is it just called Golf Plus?
Yeah, I mean, so we have like a it's basically just us. We're all like the majority of us are remote, but we do have a main office in Austin.
Okay.
That has like Ryan and Rob, our co-founders, and a few other people, but the majority of us are like remote.
Okay. Yeah, it's
cool. A lot of you guys, a lot of more central, a lot of your employees there.
We have a surprisingly even split. Like I'm
West, East Coast, Central.
We have two people that are overseas, but the majority of us are like shockingly split between like East Coast, Central, and West Coast.
That's funny.
we have a couple developers on the East Coast. And then most of like me and Chance and like the player experience side were mostly East Coast, and then a lot of the more specialized people are out in Central and West.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Bad. At least it gives you like people to have other perspectives on like golf courses. Like say, hey, check out these golf courses. At least you can all say, hey, like let's not have this person travel all the way across the United States.
Go do research for me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one cool addition that I think, since you are all owned by the PGA now, well, not owned. It's not owned. It's just affiliated.
Co-working.
Is like actual pancake golfing games, how they have create your own pro would be a cool option. I know that with the newest update, you had play against a pro, which I think it was hole 16. You got to go up against an actual pro. It was a randomized pro player, and you got to play the 16th hole. And you also got to see their actual live gameplay, which was pretty phenomenal. I think that was a great update.
Really cool.
Yeah, great update. And I think that if you would all expand on that and go like off of based off of like 2K's game, is that they have create your own pro,
like career path or whatever.
Stats of all the pros, like, or like some simulated like game based off of what skill level you are, and then you have to beat that. But then you get to play like a 3 series, and then you get to go and earn trophies and play like actual championship tours.
Career modes,
like a career mode. And I think that the retention and playability, that'd be a good practice mode before people actually want to jump into these crazy tournaments that you all have. And you know,
I think it would definitely help you practice for it, because if you set the AI to higher standards, you know, you're gonna have to hold yourself to that higher standard. So I think that that would be a good idea. I think it'd be hard to implement from, you know,
just be based on scores. You just say, hey, you know,
yeah,
but
hardware standpoint, like if you have to have, you know,
no,
AI
they won't
bots,
be there. No.
Oh, it would just be scores you'd have to meet.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So the way that they do it on Pancake Gaming is that every hole you get to see like one of the best players averaging this. You might see them go up and down, but you'll
hole
get
in
to
one,
see
hole in one, hole in one.
Yeah. But so like basically the way it would be if you're playing pro level on a Pancake Game golf is that they would average a -6. So you just have to get better than a -6.
Yeah,
to
you
beat them.
You could do what you could do, you could take your pro players from your current gaming, you know, and just record their scores for the tournaments, the recently, and then you could just upload. Well, ask if you could use them to upload them.
You just gave me another idea. You guys can have all these free ideas. You just gave me a great idea, Cuss. You guys can take this. You ready for this, Cuss?
You're welcome.
I love, and Cuss knows this, I love giving away free ideas as long as you guys just love me. That's all I care about.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think I have a good way for you all to get people to play real golf and actually play Golf Plus, because you have a lot of people that play golf. They want to dabble in Golf Plus, and there's a lot of Golf Plus players that want to dabble in a little bit of golf. So what you do is that you create an app. Or team up with an app that already has every course. You know, there's courses out there of every course that shows you and how to keep. 18 Birdies. You ever heard that app?
Oh, yeah.
So 18 Birdies is one of the biggest app that has every course. And it'll actually show you how, like, your club links and everything you need to use. And you also get to keep score. And so if you could make something for Golf Plus.
Like a leaderboard and stuff.
But when you're done with your golf course, you can actually post it on the Golf Plus thing, but hey, I golfed here. This is the real score I got.
Leaderboards, yeah, just leaderboards.
I think it'd be cool. I think it'd get people to do both.
Yeah,
actually, yeah. So leaderboards would definitely promote people to play the game. I mean, look
at, they have leaderboards.
You know.
They have game leaderboards.
Yeah, but I mean, like overall.
Yeah,
leaderboards.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd just be cool to see it.
That probably
life.
Wouldn't be hard at all to implement.
Yeah, it'd just be making a mobile
collect
app.
data. Collect data, insert.
But Another thing would be nice that I would like to is just as a player.
It's 57, by the way.
Oh yeah, so we'll get ready to end this here in a little bit. We got about 10 minutes because we started late. Is I wish I could put in my real clubs that I actually hit. Like, I know for a fact the pitching wedge, even though it says on the pitching wedge you can hit it 138 yards in game and in real life, I could probably only hit a pitching wedge at most 115, and that's me whacking it. But if I'm easy doing it, I'm at like 80, 90 yards. It'd be nice to actually be like, I know for a fact this is where I'm hitting it at. Even though in game I can still hit it. If I hit it wonky, I can go over that. But it'd be nice to know in my head that in real life and in game, I could probably only hit 100 yards. And you could change.
Because like an under and upper limit. Yeah, I can understand that, you know, from a standpoint of accessibility, you know. Mm-hmm. Like if you physically can't do the swing, you know, you could raise your standard. Or if you're hitting too hard and it's like at the top of the standard and you want to lower it, like you're saying, I mean, it wouldn't be a...
Or, you know, put people on the driving range and say, hey, for each club, hit it 6 times and then you average. Like, all right, this is where you're hitting that club at every time, instead of saying that club's always going to be here and here, you know.
Just... Is there a measurement range you could implement maybe? Like,
no, it's just what the club is for everyone. It is not changed.
I know, but I'm saying though, you could use that club in a measurement range and it tells you how far you hit it. Instead of, you know, customizing your playability, you know how far you could hit it already.
Well, I do know. Speaking. That's why I know that if this is 132 and I'm right at the pin, I need a club up. But if I know if I'm 132, but I know the pin is 100 yards out, I'm probably hitting that pin. So,
yeah, there are like, this is something that we get quite a bit, and there are like a huge amount of considerations that it tends to be viewed like whatever your perspective is on the on this type of feature, like it's similar to now I'm drawing a blank. There's another one that we get asked a lot that I'm drawing a blank on, but it's like if you want that feature, it's really hard to see the other perspective, which is like we already have for Cuss's info. So like we have everybody's shots like have the ability to go a certain, like we have a certain upper limit of like their yardage. Hey. And then we have a power meter in the game where you can slide it and essentially adjust the smash factor of the ball, which kind of how hot it comes off the club face. And so you can adjust that up and down. And some people play with it at just the standard, like for me, for example, I very rarely change it. It's almost always at like 100%. Some people adjust it every shot. What a lot of people, I think maybe the most common thing to do is a lot of people put their driver at 150% to try to get as much distance as they possibly can. And then everything else is at 100. So
yeah, that's what I do.
Even that where like we have just the clubs all standard and then the power meter itself, we already have a huge amount of like,
that's a lot of customability.
Some people think that particularly when it comes to competitive rounds. So like in our tournaments, you have people who play at 100% that think that anyone using power meter at all should be disqualified. You have people that are just using the power meter to implement and we're like, emotions. I'm using what's available to me in game. Yeah, how is this an issue? So putting in real life distances for almost exclusively, like, so you're talking for 99% of players using real life distances is purely a disadvantage compared to what you have in the game right now.
Yeah.
And the other aspect to consider is the fact that a lot of our courses are real life, like sort of what do you call like professional courses, mm-hmm. especially now with the PGA focus means the courses are long. And if you're all of a sudden going, like we have people that are already saying with our distances in game, playing like Scottsdale, for instance, from the back tees is very challenging. It's a really long course. Then if you're going from in our game being able to drive 300 yards to the average scratch player
to like, 200,
top
250.
Of the line, scratch players are like some of the best players in golf. They average 255 off the tee. So you're adding 50 yards to every hole, and then it becomes over 18 holes. That's 900 more yards.
Hey, but so it's golf plus, and we're all DeChambeau.
So
you know,
there's a lot to consider because like. That's one of those features that sounds really good and as soon as it happens would feel potentially real bad.
Yeah.
But you also
I can completely
you also
understand
have
the argument. Both sides have a valid argument because having direct control of your player is kind of You know, it's kind of a cheat because you know exactly where the ball is going to hit most of the time. Whereas you have your percentage meter, you actually have to practice more with your certain percentages to be able to hit.
You don't always know where that ball's going, by the way.
No, you don't know. No, but that's like real life. You know, you don't. Yeah. You're going to have a general location. But if you know exactly how far you can hit and you can hit to that upper limit very easily, where's the you know, the elements in play, you know? It doesn't give that level of, hey, you have 100% control of the ball over.
And there's also like, even if you take it to like the extreme other end, my brother's a great example. My brother is, I believe an 8 handicap, which is very good.
Yeah.
And he is the literal longest hitter I've ever met in real life. Wow. He will send me screenshots routinely. He sent me a screenshot about 3 days ago. His 8-iron distance, like we both use the Arcos sensors, so similar to 18 birdies, but we use the Arcos sensors. So in our clubs, it actually uses GPS data to tell us how far we hit. And his that. Eight,
send me his, links. His, send me links.
I'll do that. So his 8-iron right now, like in our game, the 8-iron goes about 162. In real life, I hit mine about 155, 160, which again is like, that's very high in the average distance, right? That's
for 8-iron? Like
up there. Yeah.
Dude, that's my six iron's 165. So I think my 7 is about that then.
My brother's 8-iron average is 195.
What? So, no way.
Dang. Holy.
Yep. He and I mean like I can show you the arco, like I can show you the screenshots. He hits absolute bombs. So there's no way we can put in like an open-ended, like, hey, you can hit your 8-iron, you know, like, so there's always going to be outliers. And especially because in our game, there is an aspect of our game that is better than real, or that's easier than real life golf, which is because of the limitations of VR, we don't have the ability to like top the ball off or chunk the ball. So you're hitting it much purer in the game. Mm-hmm. So that already makes it. So like, if we add in real life distance, there's only so much we can do to make it actually literally fully true to life.
Yeah,
because like you can't swing and miss. Like
I was playing with
some friends last week that barely play, and like the guy just, I mean, straight up swung and missed several times. Like that'll never happen unless you lose tracking. So
yeah,
I think currently for how new the game is in terms of, I mean, again, only being like full course for about a year.
Yeah,
the realism we have now is, I still struggle to believe it, and I play it more
from
than
just from anyone. Our conversation right now, so. Like from. Take it from a player who knows absolutely fucking nothing. Like, it seems, well, no, very seriously though. Like, I know absolutely nothing about the game. Like, I haven't played it. I can't play it, but it sounds like it's a very easy game to pick up.
It is.
And learn, you know, like there's not a lot of VR games that are like that. So
especially
like,
the easy level.
I appreciate it.
The easy level, I mean, you can pick your indications and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool to hear that even from someone who hasn't played, like that we give that impression, because that's something we're focused very heavily on, is that new user, non-golfer experience.
I don't have the game.
So, I mean, right from the start, we overhauled the tutorial a couple months ago. So now when you get in there for the first time, it asks you, do you play in real life? What do you average? It gives you nice. Kind of a specialized flow through the tutorial. Yeah. So it teaches you how to hit, how to aim, how to pick up new clubs. And then it suggests that you go into the clubhouse, play the mini games, and then from there out onto the course. So it's a very controlled and hopefully the
goal is helpful user flow. It sounds very controlled environment. Yeah. Very controlled. Like it's like a sterile environment as well. Like you have your set. Hey, this is what you can do to better this version of yourself. You know, like set. I don't know the golfing names of the putts, but the different clubs.
Yeah.
You know, and I would guesstimate that your mini games are centered around certain clubs.
Yep.
Yeah. Question.
How do you play the game?
Funny question. Has there ever been talk about using a disclaimer on the game saying you will not drive it 350 yards in real life?
That's
a video game, man.
We may need to eliminate that, just with, you know, we got to take that that controller whip out of there. You guys keep, you can tell, like, after you played for a little bit, you can tell when you get in a multiplayer match someone's first drive, you know whether they're using an attachment or a controller.
Yeah.
Because the people that are using the attachment, you'll hit one like 300 yards, and I'm like, oh, middle of the fairway, that's a great shot. And then I hear the sound. It sounds like a gunshot went off. Someone's drive is just soaring over my head, still going up, and I'm like, okay, all right, let's.
Well,
let's
you if you
want like grenades you and like multiplayer,
yeah. You can one hand it. I kid you not. I one handed a driver one time and actually got to go straight, and I hit it. I think it was like 360, 380 yards.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You can if you really master like the flicking part of it, the faster you go, the more likely it is to go offline. So yeah. It's extremely hard to hit it straight. But I mean, you can approach 200 ball speed with it, flicking your wrist,
hilarious.
Which is insane.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think that would be nice, because I think a lot of times in tournaments that people get away, you know, if they're not using attachments, like maybe I think the only way you get away with it is that you start doing tournaments that are only attachments, and then for all.
How do you prove it though? You know, how do you prove it? You know, that's the kicker, you know.
You take a picture of your attachment and you say, here's my goddamn attachment.
how are you going to prove that you're using it in game?
There's definitely a lot of considerations for like long-term competitive scene, like in terms of specialized tournaments, maybe tournaments where you only have access to certain clubs, like kind of fun things. And then also like what you probably consider almost like exclusionary tournaments, just meaning like tournaments that are sorted by handicap or sorted by you know, attachment type, sorted by maybe a tournament where there's like no green contour for like the ultra hardcore players.
My impression of Pro League for that, if you're good at the game, you're good at the game, you know. You're using the set attachments and everything to your advantage, so I mean I don't see an issue of people whacking the ball because it's going to be off center. To me, at least, it seems like it's an easy way to just like, hey, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In the end of the day, you get like maybe 10% more. And even then, it's not an accurate.
Like, yeah. Hit. Yeah. So, and then one thing I do want to talk. So we're going to get ready to end this now. We're getting on the hour and stuff like that. But I did want to, before we ended it, I do want to say, as always, all your link and descriptions are in our why did I just blank? All of the link and descriptions are in the bio. Not the bio.
The description?
Holy cow. Yeah.
All the links are in the description.
All the links are
in
the description. Holy cow. Sorry for that. But
for me, Geralt, and our lovely guest here.
But so I do have the Discord on there, the website, and all the social medias. I do want to say this is a good time to definitely come in and play the game, because with the PGA Tour being, you know, partners with you all in this, you get to see really beautiful courses that a lot of people don't get to see in real life. And, you know, playing a pancake game, yeah, it's cool to go play it in that game, but you get to walk around and experience these courses. I, for probably 10, 15 minutes, just explored the Phoenix Open, you know, and really saw how beautiful you did that. And I wish there were several times I was so irritated on a Saturday. I was trying to make content, we had like lightning hit near our house, and just like, I guess I wasn't recording for like 2 hours of me doing this, but I would hit the ball and like people would cheer for me. I'd be like, thank you. That was great. Yeah. That's a great addition. So definitely get it now.
If I can throw this out there, like this just started, I believe the end of last week or like midway through last week. But right now, if you're someone who like doesn't own a Quest 2 and is considering it, for the next few months, we are one of the bundled games that comes with a Quest 2. So if you want to play Golf Plus and you've been kind of like waiting to pull the trigger on the actual headset, right now we've in the box, similar to how Beat Saber was, we're one of the games that come with it for the next few months. So it's a good time to pick it up.
Okay, so two things. Cool. I want to link to the in real life thing that you have. And then two, if you can give me the GPS link to the bundle, I want to tweet that out.
Yeah. If you go to Walmart right now, it'll be in the display. We got pictures coming in on.
Okay, because I want people
cute.
To know about
Look at that.
For sure, that's pretty cool as well. Yeah. And then one thing, you know, with the customization of the new thing that I like with being part of PGA, you get to have different you know, grips, different shafts, different clubs. I noticed you had a lot of the Rogue stuff in there. I'm a big fan of the Rogue series. One thing that I think would be a cool idea is that if you actually buy real merchandise in real life, you get a code to actually put it on your avatar. It would be a cool thing to have. Just, you know, just an idea.
Yeah, that's another thing where like all our avatars are controlled through Meta. So it's if we have the ability to do that, we'd love to do that.
You could. I mean, that doesn't sound too hard of a thing to get. You know,
it's
hey,
meta, dude. Meta
we
sucks.
We want. Yeah. No, well, no. It's a shirt with lettering. That's literally it.
We have a couple that are rolling out right now. We're in the store for some people, but not others. It depends on which version of it, like where you are in your Oculus version, and then it's kind of rolling out slowly to more and more people. So
So
this game sounds epic. You know,
it's amazing.
I may pick it up. I'm not a golf kind of guy. Pick it up whenever it comes out in VR. However,
when it comes out for PC VR, it is out for VR.
Yeah.
Well, PC VR. Yeah, we knew what I
meant. We have to be specific here.
No, everybody knows I'm a PCR fan. Get out of here. But if it comes out, I probably will be purchasing it and trying it. Because, you know, you never know. You can't take a bite of an apple.
There's a lot of people that have fired this game up saying, this is not for me. And then I don't think I've ever seen them turn it off.
Yeah, then that's a good thing. Take that on note, and we'll kind of. But is there anything that you kind of want to say, Shaq, to end this podcast?
I mean, nothing major other than you know, to anyone who's maybe listening who has played the game and is kind of you know, looking for more interaction or more kind of fun around the game. I just encourage everybody constantly just join our Discord. It is in terms of size, it's massive. We have 18,000 people in there. It is absolutely huge, and it's just the best community. I mean, there's always people willing to play, offering tips. We have competitive stuff going on in there. We have just I mean, if you have stuff that you like want to see added to the game, we have our like our wish list, our feature request channel, all that. It's just it is an incredible place to be.
And I totally agree with that. I
now the important question: did you enjoy being on the podcast?
Oh, I mean, for the most part, yeah.
But
I didn't realize one of the co-hosts, you know, never played the game. But other than that, it was fantastic.
Well, look, I got PCVR.
I got you. I told him about this last week that we're doing this.
Let me play your beta for PCVR.
And he's just like,
I know it's a thing.
I wore a golf hat last podcast. He goes, I know.
And that exact one.
He's like, I have a feeling that next week's going to be golf. One. And I go, and he's like, who do we have coming up tonight? I was like, Golf Plus. And he's like, okay. So, but it's always good, you know, to have a co-host that doesn't like there's sometimes that we bring people on that my co-host decides to bring on and I haven't spoken to them. And you know, it's really good because I get to sit there and learn about something new and then also have my crazy ass ideas like, hey, maybe this would be cool.
Or I pull things out of my like, because you know, I'm out there, man, as a person. Like I just think of things, you know?
So yeah, I appreciate it. It's been cool.
Yeah. So for all users, non-golf, have played golf. Golf Plus is definitely something to try out, especially with the new course. How long do they have to play with the pro?
The one for Scottsdale is ended, but we'll have it's coming back for, it's coming back for Sawgrass in March. Cool. So we'll have it coming back.
So get ready. Definitely start trying those courses out. Beat the Pro is definitely a cool experience to have because you actually get to see where they actually played on that. And then you can actually try and actually say, I beat a Pro, you know, so that's a cool thing. But other than that, we will see everyone next Monday. There will be this month. We're going to have some weird Sundays coming on. We have like one company from Japan. And so that should be pretty cool.
That's going to be epic. I'm psyched for that one.
First time we're going to have a person actually speaking to them in Japanese and then us in American.
Don't worry. I got you. I'm the translator guy. I know how to talk to a translator.
Yeah. So I think they're Japanese. I have to figure that one out too because probably don't want to call them that if they're not. But we'll figure that out. But
they're east of the world.
Yeah. But anyways, next Monday, normal time. I don't know if we have a guest yet. I have been talking to like 50 million people this week. It's been hectic. But as always, it's going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. So we'll see you all, everyone. Wave at the camera. Go play some golf. All go learn how to play. See you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on, everybody.
See you.